all that they do to put this on for us, and I thank the Lord for it. I do covet your prayers tonight that the Lord will help us and use us. You do pray for me, the Lord will help me just to get loose, preach my heart. I don't want to get in nobody's way, and no other men will come. But we do want to mind God and preach what He's laid on our heart in the day today. John, St. John tonight, chapter number 15. I'll be reading from there. I'll also be reading from the book of Mark, chapter number 11. John chapter 15 and Mark chapter number 11. John 15 verse 1 said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 12, said, And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come again tonight, as humble as we know how, Lord, we want to thank you, God, again tonight for the opportunity to pray. Thank you, God, for the good singing tonight, what we've already heard. God, what our hearts have felt, Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you, God, for the good drive today. Thank you, Lord, for the good fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of seeing friends that we haven't saw in some time. Thank you, God, for this dear church and this dear pastor. Lord, what they mean to our heart. Thank you, Lord, for Preacher Milby. All that make this meeting possible, Lord, I'm thankful for them. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come and stand, Lord, tonight. Lord, realizing, God, that I'm not worthy, Lord. But I pray, God, that you'd help me and touch me, Lord, one more time. Praying, God, that you'd help me, Lord, to get beside of myself. Forget where I'm at, Lord, who am I around, and help me just to preach. God, in power, Lord, in demonstration, God, the Holy Ghost. I beg you, Lord, that you'd calm my nerves, Lord, tonight, so that I might be able to preach the preaching, God, that you'd be pleased with. Help me, God, tonight, Lord, not to be a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Help me, God, tonight, Lord, not to say anything or do anything of my own will, God, tonight, of my own power. But I pray, God, that you'd one more time endue me, God, with power from on high, and let me preach, God, one more time, Lord, your word. I do pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for this opportunity. God, what a joy it is to come and be in these meetings. God, what a help it is always to my heart. God, but I thank you, Lord, for the time, Lord, that we've come to see now, Lord, and the opportunity, Lord, to read the Word of God and preach one more time. Help me, God, I do humbly pray. Let me get loose one more time, I do beg. Open the hearts of the people of God tonight. Help us, God, to draw nigh to you, Lord, I do pray. God, touch the hearts of sinners, Lord, tonight that may be here. And God, move on them, I beg, and draw them to an altar of repentance, God, before it be everlasting too late, Lord. And we'll thank you, God, we'll praise you, Lord, we'll say that you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I humbly pray, amen and amen. I'm interested tonight in verse number 13 here in the book of Mark 11. I'll read it again in your hearing. He said, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. If God will help me for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach a little thought to you having nothing but leaves. Having nothing but leaves. Now, I read in your hearing tonight out of the book of John, chapter number 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He said, if you'd abide in me and my words abide in you, you could ask what you would and it'd be done. And he said, it would glorify the Father if we brought forth much fruit. So I believe tonight, as the people of God, as children of God, we have an obligation tonight to bring forth fruit, but not only bring forth fruit, but bring forth the much fruit. Jesus here is coming into Bethany. This is right after the fact that he's come in riding in that colt, and they've laid those palm trees down, and they've cried Hosanna to the King. And he's hungry, Brother Dale, and he sees a fig tree afar off. How did he know it was a fig tree? He could tell by the leaves. He knew it was a fig tree, and he'll begin to approach that tree and desiring that he might find some fruit thereof, that he might take it in and gather a little nourishment, a little strength for the journey. But when he got there and he began to examine that tree, all he could see was leaves. And I'm looking tonight across the church. I'm looking across the church world that I pastor in and you reside in. And I see a lot of folks that have the tag of a Christian. I see a lot of folks that have the tag of being an old-time Christian. You begin to examine their lives, and when you look at them, you see everything right in place. We can have the dress code. We can have it down to a jot and a tittle. They can see us every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Our car's parked at the house of God. They examine us, and they look at us, and everything's right in line of being a Christian tonight. Now, I wonder tonight when we really get to examining ourselves, when the Lord really begins to look at us, does He see more than leaves in our lives? Amen. Nothing but leaves. We've lived to see a fake church in this world today. We've lived to see a day when there's a lot of profession, but very little possession. Amen. I do know this tonight, that as you get saved, when you get saved, you begin to grow in the grace of God. I've been saved going on 19 years, preaching about 18 years, and I've seen a lot in this time, and I sure hope that I'm further down the road tonight than I was way back then. I can remember coming to this meeting when I was about 20, 21 years old and preaching in this pulpit. I sure hope that I've progressed just a little bit. Not so somebody might pat me on the back, but I'd like my life to be a light. I'd like for folks to be able to see fruit in me. I want them to see more than just a suit and tie. I want them to see more than just a Bible under my arm. But I'd like to have some things in my heart that come from salvation that would show the fruit of God in mine and your lives. Amen. There's something to tonight being a real Christian. And there's not many real Christians in the world today. Now, I'm not talking just about people that are not saved. Now, there's several in the church, no doubt, that's not saved, and they put on a good front, and they put on a good act. But there's even more in the church that have the leaves but have no fruits of being a Christian. I do know tonight that there's different times and different phases of life, just like there's seasons. There's days when it seems like we're growing and budding and blossoming for God. But then there's those winter days when the leaves have fallen off and the branches are dead. There's no fruit to be seen, but we're hoping for a springtime. I do know that. I do know this tonight. You may be in the wintertime walk of your Christian life. You may not be bringing forth a lot of fruit. I can tell you this, after a while when the snow melts, there'll come a day when little sprouts have come out on those branches. Little buds will turn into blossoms, and after a season there will be fruit. If you're saved tonight, if you're a Christian, you will have more than just leaves.
You will have more than just leaves. Amen. It'll be more than your attire. I understand that the Lord realized it was a fig tree by the way it was adorned. And you can tell a Christian pretty much by the way they're adorned. But I do know this tonight. There's a lot of long dresses that come with a lot of long tongues. There's a lot of men in here tonight, no doubt, and across this world that would not, for no reason whatsoever, put on a pair of short pants because they feel that it's wicked and ungodly, and they stand and boast in that and pop their suspenders and say, look at me. But when you really get down to talking to them, there's not a lot of love in their life. There's not a lot of joy. There ain't a whole lot of peace. And if you don't possess that, I don't care what your closet's made up of, you ain't much of a Christian tonight. Amen. I found this out in the church world today, that we brag a lot about our works. Amen. And I wonder if we do that tonight to hide the fact that we don't have a lot of fruit in our hearts. Amen. If we can stand and brag about what we've done and how much we give and what we don't do or what we do do, we can make everybody feel like, hey, what a man, what a woman, what a preacher, what a deacon, what a lay member. I'm telling you tonight, all that amounts to very little when you stand in the presence of God and He's examining that heart, and there's nothing in there that portrays a Christian. Amen. God, help us tonight to possess those attributes and those characteristics of a godly man or a godly woman. I believe when a man gets saved and the hope of God is put in his heart, it changes him from the inside out. And those fruits of the Spirit come alive on the inside of him. And after a time, they will shine forth in your life. I believe that. You may not have it all right tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's alright. You hang in there. You keep fighting the good fight of faith. You keep loving preaching. You keep following the Word of God. There'll come a time when these things begin to come out. God will work in you and God will help you. And you can get some things fixed. But I'm telling you, I ain't writing nobody off tonight. I can't be the judge. But I do know this tonight. If there's fruit in you today, there'll be some fruit tomorrow. If there's fruit in you tomorrow, 6 months down the road, there'll still be some fruit. You've got to possess it. You've got to let God work in you and let it come out. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Ain't that right? I read that. But ain't it amazing? We've learned how to work in the church world to the fact of the matter where we can please each other. But I wonder, are we pleasing the Lord? Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. We need to hear that in this day. I know tonight that we're not saved by our works, but we are saved unto good works. There will be some fruits of righteousness in your life. But if all you've got to brag about is what I do and what I haven't done, what I've given up, what I've shot, what I've bashed, God help us. That don't mean much to me, friend. Them old timers that I grew up with in the Methodist church, I've dressed right, lived right, walked right, but never stood and bragged about the matter. But they always bragged about being saved, having God in their heart, knowing Him. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, if all you got to brag about is you, we ain't got a whole lot. Amen. I always seem like, and I don't know, preacher, maybe I think about it all the time. Seems like in the camp meetings here lately where I've preached at, I'm seeming like the bearer of bad news. And I don't know why that is. But I don't want you tonight to feel like that I've compromised or let down the standard. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having the real fruit of a Christian in your life. There's 17 works of the flesh. And it was no problem for you to produce them naturally when you was a lost man or woman, boy or girl. And it shouldn't be no problem for you as a saved man to produce some fruit of the Spirit if God really abides in you. Amen. Without Him, you can do nothing. These are the characteristics of God and the attributes of God that God's put in us that might shine forth, that a lost world might see what we have. I believe that's right. Paul, writing in the book of Galatians, he said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." I believe with all my heart, if you're a saved man, you'll have some love. I believe that. Love will ooze from you after you get saved. There'll be a love of God. There'll be an appreciation for salvation. There'll be something in your heart that lays causes you to lay in the bed at night and cry over the fact that you're undeserving, but yet holler hallelujah because you know He done something. The songwriter said the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen. I can never tell. It goes beyond the high star, reaches to the lowest hell. If you've ever been saved, you know about love. When you find out how much God loves you and you get born again, the love of God is placed in your heart. And on that tree, on them branches, will put out fruit. How do you know you pass from death unto life? Because you love the brethren. In a world today that's full of hate, of misery, in a world where people want to get even instead of get right with God, if you possess the fruit of a Christian, you'll love those that despitefully use you. Amen. Hard to do. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can't do it on your own. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you have the love of God in your heart, you'll find yourself beside the stump somewhere, or beside the bed, or in the altar somewhere, praying, God, help me to love like you love. Help me love my neighbor like myself. Help me to do right by my fellow man. That's what the love of God is. The love of God don't boast about, thank God, what you've done, but it boasts about what He done for you. I'm telling you tonight, it ain't no trouble for me to love God. Why? Because you first loved me. I'm telling you, there's a great appreciation of what He done. I know where I was at, I know where I was headed, but I know where I'm at tonight. I may not be as far down the road as I should be, but there's one thing about it. Every once in a while, He looks at my tree and sees love. When people look at you, can they see the love of God? Amen. Can they see the love of God? That God's done a work and changed you from the inside out and hung that, put that special branch right in place. I put a special bud with a special blossom that would shine into love. Amen. Have you say, preacher, I'm telling you, we've lived to see a day where we need to hate these things and despise these things. I believe you ought to preach against sin. I believe you ought to. I believe you ought to preach against the wickedness of the day. But what happened to the man of God that used to preach with a tear in his eye and be effective? You can preach against sin and be rough and tough, not have to be hateful and arrogant. If you love the sinners that you're preaching to, you'll weep over the fact that they're headed to hell, going down the wrong road. You'll realize you was there not too long ago. Love will bud out of your heart. A deep love for them. It'll shine to them. They'll see something different in you. Amen. God, help us to love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What else is it? It's joy. And there ain't many too many joyful Christians in the world today. Everybody's got the doom and gloom look, you know. We're victims of prophecy. Look at the day we're in. Evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse. That's exactly right. We are in the last days, as Brother Jerry said. But let me let you know a little secret. He's just as much the God of the last day as He was the first day. He'll still walk with you. He'll still talk with you. He'll still help you. And you can possess some joy in the journey. Amen. They got to singing, without a doubt. I know without a doubt I'm saved. And I felt something bubbling in my heart. And I got happy and I waved my hand. And I said, "Yes, Lord." And then right next to me, Brother Nibby giggled out and said, "Yes, Lord." I know it without a doubt. Brother Kim men begin to laugh right beside me. I'm telling you, friend, when God's glory gets to me, moving in the church and His love gets to flowing from breast to breast, it'll cause some joy to come in your heart. I'm telling you, there's a great difference in happiness and joy. Happiness will contend on what's going on in your life, your situations, and your circumstance. You might be happy today because there's money in the bank, but tomorrow you may be broke and you won't be happy. But joy ain't superficial. Joy is not skin deep. Joy will go to your bosom. Joy will smile in the face of adversity when all hell's broke loose against you. It'll say, "Hallelujah, I'm saved." Amen. That's right. There's a special branch on you tonight if you're a Christian. There's a special bud just waiting to blossom out. The joy of God in your heart. The joy of being a Christian. The joy of knowing Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can come through these doors of camp meeting. I can enter into my church on Sunday morning, see folks that I see 3 and 4 and 5 times a week, and just seeing them affects me. And the joy of God fills my heart and makes me happy that I'm counted among them. I want to say tonight, I'm glad I'm among this crowd. Amen. You may not be proud to have me, but I'm proud to have you. I'm glad to know they still some fellowship. I'm glad they to know they still some Christians that can get together, sing the praises of God, and it causes a holy influence in her heart and produces joy. Amen. Them old timers had joy, didn't they? I mean, that's what y'all told me anyway. Down through the years, that's what y'all shouted about. That's about all we got to shout about is what Grandma and Grandpa had. Because we don't have the joy we had, they had. Ain't that right? But we can remember what they had and be happy about it. Be joyful about it. I'm telling you tonight, I got just as much as they did when I got saved. I'm just tonight just as joyful about it. David said we ought to therefore draw. Or the psalmist said we ought to draw joy out of the wells of salvation. If you're saved, you ought to stick the bucket in every once in a while. And you ought to let the windlass go. And you ought to let it hit bottom every once in a while. And Daddy, growing up, we slunk hogs. And we had no well. He'd let that bucket down and it hit the water. I'd say, "Daddy, how you know it's full?" He'd say, "You don't know." And he'd take that a cord and begin to up and down. And just a minute he'd go, "Boo, boo, boo, boo." And he'd say, "It's full, son. I'd like to see a day in the church again when people come in and sit down and prayers are made and songs are sung all through the house. You can hear, ooh." Amen. But you don't hear that much anymore. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to possess joy. Amen. But preacher, you don't know what I'm going through, but I know where you're supposed to be going to. Amen. That's right. There ought to be some joy in our lives. David lost his joy because of sin. And I think that's probably the same reason tonight why we ain't got any joy in our lives, because of sin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Peace. What did they say just a minute ago? There's a deep, settled peace in my happy soul. Amen. And I don't say tonight, I possess peace in my heart. Thank God for peace that passes all understanding. I'm glad that I'm past those days of doubt. I thank the Lord for that. I struggled as a young convert, a young Christian, those days when the devil tried to convince me I wasn't saved. And I can remember those days when I'd wring my hands and go to my prayer place and say, "Lord, where are you? I don't understand. I can't understand why everybody else is shouting, feeling you, but I can't feel nothing. I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to live right for you." And the Lord said, "Just hang in there, buddy. That's what you you got to do tonight. In the midst of those storms, in the midst of those winter times, when you're barren, and it looks like there'll never be a blossom in your life again, you stay planted right where you're at. You stay faithful to God. You weather your storms. There'll be a day when peace busts out on you. I'm telling you, you can get further down the road, and you can draw nigh with full assurance of faith. You can know God. You can have that peace that passes all understanding. And when it comes down to the devil pointing fingers and making accusations, you can say, go on down the road. I've got fruit bearing peace. Amen. Ain't that right? I believe that's right tonight. Peace. Fruit bearing peace. Amen. That shines. Oh, growing up, Brother Rods are across from the garden that Daddy would plant next to the fence row. There's a big pear tree. And Mama would take them pears off that tree and make a pear preserves. And boy, that's good. And I've seen that pear tree when the leaves come on it, you know, and begin to green out. Then it turned from a green to almost a solid white. And all them whites was blossoms. And you knew it wouldn't be long, and there'd be some pears on there. After a while, the wind would blow just right, and them blossoms would be scattered on the ground. But them buds had already busted out in the little bitty pears. I'm telling you, friend, I'd like to look across the church tonight and see folks with peace. I'd like to see some folks that possess peace in their heart, didn't doubt God, didn't worry about tomorrow, but to wave a hand and say, I'm saved. And know it. Amen. Them leaves, them green leaves, I love to see them coming because I knew it wouldn't be long and they'd be fruit. Amen. But as I look across the church today, I see a lot of green leaves, but I see very, very little fruit. I've seen the pear tree in my daddy's yard get so heavy that the branches bend over and break. When's the last time you bore that kind of fruit? When's the last time? Amen. When's the last time, if there ever has been a time, bearing peace in your life? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Long-suffering. That word, long-suffering, it means you don't rush to retaliate. That sounds a lot like God, don't it? The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while that ark was preparing. What was going on in Noah's day? They was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Everybody's cussing God and making fun of the preacher. Sounds a lot like today's day. But did God say, hey, I tell you what I'll do. I'll go down there and blow them all out. I'll wipe them all out. He said, no, I'll just wait on Noah. I'll let him build an ark. I'll save him by grace. But we've lived to see a day in the church when folks can get a little miffed or mad at one another, and have a little old something in their lives that comes up between two church members, and all of a sudden you see them get it all, and the next thing you know they're at each other's throat, and all they want to do is get even. Never have seen that such a day when so many church members is going to court to sue one another. Never have seen a day like that. And I preached here one time, not too many years ago, about my daddy. And about the fence road that the neighbor had built on us when my daddy lived in Michigan. Y'all probably heard me tell that story, but some hadn't. I can remember daddy taking me to that fence road and showing me the corners of our land. And he said, now son, when you get down to the other marker, it's awful little ways. And I said, daddy, why is it awful little ways? And he said, well, why is gold? The neighbor next to us built it over on us. And I said, daddy, you ought to take him to court. You ought to get what's ours. And daddy said, that man's a lost man. And there ain't no way I'm going to go to church every Sunday and profess to be a Christian and fight over 6 feet of land and lose my testimony. I'd rather just love God in front of him, love my neighbor like I ought to, witness to him and feel good about it. Amen. Amen. Long suffering. You don't rush to retaliate. It ain't in your heart just to get even. Amen. That's right. Amen. God help us. Now, this is Scripture I'm preaching to you tonight, and And I don't know how you take it or not. And I do know it's a clock on down, and I didn't expect you to shout tonight. But I do know tonight on the way up here this evening, Lord burdened in my heart to preach this to you. I'm just trying to tell you about what being a real Christian is. About what being a Christian is. Amen. I ain't worried about your dress, the length of it, the length of your hair, how much makeup or how little makeup. I ain't worried about having your ears pierced or things like that. I ain't really worried about how you cut your hair. If you get it right and God gets on the inside of you, it won't take too long to figure the rest of that stuff out. Amen. I'm talking about having something on the inside that does shine that somebody might want. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, people look at us the way we dress, they just think we're crazy anyway. There ought to be something behind the dress code that would back it up. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Why y'all looking at me like that? Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, that's not a word you hear much in the church anymore. That'd be rough. That'd be rough, tough, you know. And there's a time for that. I believe that. There's a time when you've got to draw a line in the sand and say, I ain't going no further. But you better have a gentle spirit about you when you do it. Amen. And then you can tonight. You can be right with God. You can stand on the Word of God. Still be gentle in your spirit. And not cause everybody to hate you and despise the church when you talk to them. Amen. Gentleness tonight. That's just the kindness or the goodness of heart. There's a preacher in my church by the name of Wayne Roden, and you've met him. And Brother Wayne is a funeral home director. He's over several funeral homes, and I've had the privilege of helping in funerals while he's there. I've had the privilege of talking to families when he was organizing the funerals and things like that. And I listen to him while he's working with these families, and he's got such a gentle spirit. And he can take these hearts that's broken in their time of need when they don't know which end's up or which way to go. And just by talking to them or a warm embrace and saying, hey, it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. Let me pray with you. After prayers are made, all of a sudden people can come somewhat to their senses. Just because somebody had a gentle spirit, just because somebody cared, just because somebody was willing to go an extra mile, put their arm around them and say, hey, it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. We live to see a church generation where you say, oh, you're in church. You ought to be faithful to church. You're sitting on the church row. You're hearing the preaching. Why ain't you got all this by now? I mean, you've been saved 6 months. Why ain't you figured all this out? Amen. Gentleness. Gentleness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Is it on your tree? Is it on your tree? Do you bear that? Gentle spirit. When you know folks is wrong, preacher, and you have to counsel with them, and in your heart, you're breaking over the fact that they have gotten into sin, and sin's infiltrated their life, and you'd like to, with everything within you, just bust their hide. But all of a sudden, the warmth of God comes over your heart, and for just a few minutes, you can have just a little bit of compassion. That's what the Scripture said. We ought to have compassion, what? Making a difference. Why ain't there no much difference being made? There ain't very much compassion. I think we forgot where we come from. I think we've forgotten how rotten we were. That's right. We look at our tree and it's got all these beautiful leaves and we're satisfied with the leaves. But the Lord sure would like to see some fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Goodness. Goodness is just virtues. Acts chapter 11 talked about a man by the name of Barnabas. He said he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. A good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Y'all know many good men anymore? Now, I know the Scripture teaches, and even Jesus said Himself, that there's none good but the Father. Why callest thou me good? But if you're a Christian today and you're saved, there ought to be some goodness in your heart. There ought to be something in you that would go the extra mile, that would give somebody the shirt off their back. Amen. That would help in a time of need. Ain't that right? We ain't got time for all that anymore. We want to stand in our pulpits and preach the Word of God. We want to look, we want to have those leaves on our lives, and we want to say, hey, look at us, we're a Christian. But as soon as somebody comes needing a little bit of help, we ain't got a whole lot of time no more. When's the last time with joy you got up in your, out of your bed in the middle of the night ready to help somebody that was calling on you? Or when's the last time when the phone rung you said, why in the world are they calling again? I've preached to them every Sunday. They ought to know by now. Does that sound familiar? Amen. Why is nobody saying amen, shaking your head? That's right. Is that right? I'm talking about goodness. A good man, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. If you're a good man, you're a good woman, you'll go out of your way to show what a Christian really is. Christian just means to be Christ-like. If that's the case, ain't a whole lot of Christians anymore. Christ possessed every one of these values, did He not? And when you got saved, He birthed them in you. Is that right? Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. But He said, but it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God works it in, then He works it out through you. And when people see you, they ought to be able to see the fruit of Him. Amen. Goodness. And then He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. Faith is the act or attitude of believing God. We can all quote the Scriptures. We can all quote the Scripture that said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. We can all quote, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can all quote, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it'd be cast in the sea. But when it comes to showing it in our lives, we can say it real good, but it's real hard to show it. Faith. I'm talking about believing God. You ain't supposed to put faith in your faith. You're not supposed to put trust in your trust. You're supposed to put your faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. Me and Brother Rees, before we come, we stopped by Shepherd's Cove in Abbeville, and it's hospice is what it is, and there's a church member there that me and him both know well. She attends his place, Miss Isom. Miss Isom is a jewel, buddy. She's the lady that when y'all come to the church and sung on that morning meeting, she stood and testified, and the place erupted. And she said, well, it won't be long now. Eyes are sunk in. She can't eat and she can't drink and just be a few days and she'll die. But she said, you know, I'm a winner either way. Faith. Faith. And the last time I seen her was during that meeting and I got all broke up while we was trying to pray for her. But I don't feel one bit sorry for her. I hate that she's having to suffer like that. But I'm telling you tonight, that woman possesses faith. And that ain't the only thing she possesses. I see a tree in full bloom that you can pick from any time. Get something sweet to eat off of. Amen. I preached on Samson yesterday morning at my church. And I said, I wonder why it is that Samson had to honor God with his death when he should have just lived right and honored God with his life. Is that right? Samson got himself in the mess. You realize that, don't you? And you're the one that gets yourself in the mess. You ought to honor God with your life and not wait till you're dead to fix it all up. You ought to bear the fruit now. Talking about faith. Faith, and then he said, meekness. Meekness. Not weakness. Everybody gets these two things. They won't put these two things together. They're not even close to being in the same category. Meekness and weakness. Meekness is the attitude of the heart that accepts the Lord's dealings with us as good, perfect, and acceptable, and are not open for dispute or resistance. My wife possesses this fruit about as much as any woman I've ever seen. You can just about find this fruit on her tree at any time. Now, I struggle with some things, Brother Jerry, when hard times fall on me. I'm the first one to wring my hands and wipe my head and say, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" Y'all remember me telling the story how everything had come apart in our lives, everything was going wrong, and next thing you know, she's in the hospital having to have a hysterectomy. We ain't got any insurance or nothing like that. Just everything's going wrong, and then my little boy got burnt. Everything's going wrong, and we're sitting on the couch one Sunday, and she's rubbing my hand, and I'm saying, "What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do now? How are we going to pay for all this?" And my wife just put her arm around me and said, "Daddy, when's the last time God failed us? Has He ever not been good to us?" Just a few days ago, we went to visit one of my church members, and while we was backing out of the driveway, transmission went out in the Suburban, and I thought, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do? I ain't got the money to fix this. I don't know how we're going to handle this." And about 2 days, I moped around the house, and I was pouting, knowing I wasn't going to be able to pay for it. I called my sister, and she couldn't help me. I'm saying, "What are we going to do?" That same sweet little hand, that same gentle voice, wrapped her arms around me and said, "Honey, have you forgot the Lord has never took care of, not took care of us? I don't know what He's doing, and sometimes I don't understand, but I'm not going to doubt Him now. There's no need to." The next thing you know, somebody's paying for the transmission to get fixed. And I'm scratching my head saying, "Why in the world did I ever doubt Him?" And she's smiling and saying, "Did I not tell you so?" Meekness. The will of God's not open for dispute. I don't know where He's got you at. I don't know what He's got you going through. But I do know still, all things work together. All things work together for them that love the Lord, for them that are called according to His purpose. I do know that. And if you'll take a little time and not be so easy to blow up and say, "God, where are you?" you might get to see Him work in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's a tough one right there. Self-control. Boy, Jesus possessed that, didn't He? Took up on the high mountain, the devil showed Him all those kingdoms. Said, "You can have them all." Jesus just began to give Him the Word of God. Amen. Hungry, not eating 40 days, and He's just saying, "Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Ain't that right? This would have been us. We'd have sold out before the 40 day ever come.
That's right.
Is that right? We don't have a whole lot of self-control in the world today. And I want to say something, y'all probably get mad at me. Brother Mibbing, tell me to leave, I guess. I'm amazed at what I hear preachers preach and what I hear preachers say. And I mean, we can't even look through a newspaper anymore without fear of seeing advertisement of a woman in a bathrobe or something, because we'll lose everything that we're supposed to have. All our values and all our morals and all our character will be gone out. I don't understand how these people make it in the summertime.
Ain't that the truth? Right.
I mean, if we fall out that quick, we ain't got a whole lot to brag about. I'm not saying that I'm a more of a spiritual man than what you are, or more of a spiritual lady than what you are. But I do know this. Some of the things are a testament to the fact that we're not very spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. We're to be able to have some self-control. Is that right? We're to be able to have some self-control. You ought to be able to turn a knob. You ought to be able to turn a page. You ought to be able to turn something off. You ought to be able to look the other way. I know at times it's hard. David didn't practice a whole lot of temperance. At times I don't practice a whole lot of temperance. But I'm not going to stand up here and blame it on anybody else. The only person's fault it is mine. That's right. Temperance is just as much a fruit of the Spirit as love is. just as much as peace is, just as much as long-suffering is, just as much as meekness is, we don't want to talk about that one much because not many folks have it anymore. We're a gluttonous society. When something is put in front of us, we dive whole hog. It's simply because we're not the Christian we want to be. It's not. He said, against such, there is no law. 17 works of the flesh, there's a judgment for them. There's a penalty for every one of them. But he said, with these fruits of the Spirit, you can have as much of them, as many of them. They can be as many hanging on your tree. They can be in abundance. There's no law against it. What he's saying in these things right here, you can actually, it's one of the very few things you can actually overindulge in. That's right.
Amen.
There ain't many of us in here tonight have more God than what we need. Amen. Jesus looked on the fig tree, desiring to find something, and he saw nothing but leaves.